Hello. Yeah, I'm still on. There you go. Thank you, Karis. You're awesome. Thank you, God. So they've got some stuff set up out there. They're also going to be in concert here tonight. I think a chunk of you are coming out to that. So we're just stoked that you're here. Thank you, guys. So last week we talked about butchering animals. I tried really hard to get a goat to sacrifice in front of you all. No, I'm serious. Some of you know I'm serious. I did look for goats. But that's not the way we're going to go today. Although, that would have made the headlines. Okay, I'm going to read some scripture from Romans chapter 6 and first few verses, just following on from last week. This is Paul talking. What should we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? And in verse 4 it says that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So last week we were talking about Aaron and the whole Day of Atonement, or the day as it's called, and how he would take two goats. One of them he would slaughter and sacrifice in front of the altar and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. And then the other one, it would be let off into the wilderness. And so one paid the penalty for the sin, and one took the sins away from the people. And then we talked about how that's connected with Jesus and how Jesus died on the cross. And I described to you in detail what that would have been like, even though no words can actually grasp the horrendous situation, the horrendous time that Jesus went through. And if you remember, Isaiah said that he would have been so badly beaten that he actually didn't look human anymore. And so it's funny, I had a stack of emails from you and Facebook and people coming to chat, and a couple of you said, kind of makes me think twice about wearing a cross. Yeah, it's an interesting thing to think about, you know. We don't wear kind of injection needles or kind of electric chairs around our neck. But I'm not criticizing if you've got a cross on. Don't kind of freak out on me, all right? So we can have a mass cross jewelry burning session or something like that. And then in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, I think we've got this as well. 2 Corinthians 5, 21, we find out ultimately what the reason was for why Jesus died. Have we got that, guys? Or do you want me to just read it? There we go. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So for our sake, Jesus Christ died on the cross. It was the Good Friday. And so when we come into Good Friday, this coming Friday, and we're stuffing ourselves with Easter eggs and hugging Easter bunnies and, you know, it's all so nice. You think, really? Is that what Satan has turned Good Friday into? It's ridiculous. And I wanted to hammer it and slam it into your brain and into your spirit so that when you do get there on Friday, you actually think about what Jesus went through. It's funny because I've actually seen a few people kind of, well, we'll go for, have a celebration on Good Friday. It should be a somber time of remembering our sin and repenting before God. But then we get Easter Sunday, and that's what I want to talk about today. Because this scripture that talks about newness of life and how we've died to sin, so how can we continue to live in it? You know what? I don't know about you, but in Christianity, the hardest thing is knowing that we're a Christian, knowing that God, Jesus died on the cross, and yet in our everyday life still struggling to kind of work out what it should look like. Do we really live in newness of life? As you know, I've got a 3.5-year-old son called Jack. He's my youngest, and Jack's really cool, but he's a bit mental. Those of you who've met him, I know some of the rugby guys have, and some of the worship. You know, he's just into running around and bumping into stuff. That's basically his job in life right now. But a couple of years ago, we were in our other house in Surrey where we used to live, and Jack went missing. And in the house, now it makes you sound like I've kind of got a crib-sized mansion. I really didn't. But babies are really good at just disappearing. And it went very quiet. And I know you know that when it goes quiet in the house, it's not good when you've got a toddler, right? So I said to my wife was making some dinner, the kids were doing other stuff, and I said, where's Jack? I don't know, can you go and find him? Is what my wife Sarah said. So I go off. You know in those movies where I actually saw one of these the other day, how many of you seen Knowing? The movie Knowing. That was way creepier than I was expecting it to be. You know, whenever they've kind of got the straight, long hair, gaunt-eyed little 8-year-old girl in a movie, you know what I mean? It's kind of scary. But you remember that scene where the teacher's looking for the little girl, and she's they've looked all over the school. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Which bit? Do you know what, you know the bit I'm talking about? And then there's this scene where the camera is in the basement looking up, and the basement's dark. And the teacher comes down the basement in the dark. I'm like, switch the freaking lights on. It's already spooky. And the music goes on. You're like, why is she going by herself? And then you hear scratching noises. And I'm freaking out in the movies. I hate movies like this. It sounds worse than it actually was, but she finds the kid in the basement. But you know these creepy movies where the last place that you look is where the evilness is? Like, it's thundering and lightning, it's midnight, it's Halloween. I'm gonna go into the dark basement. No! We avoid the basement, you don't go in the cellar, you don't go in the attic, anything creepy you stay away from. But I'm going around this house, I look in every room for Jack, leaves one last room. It's the downstairs washroom. I open the door, I switch the light on, and there's Jack, in all his Jack glory, with both hands down the toilet, doing this. And he looks up and he looks at me and he's dripping with toilet water. And he looks at me with this bright 2.5-year-old face like saying, Dad, this is awesome. Why have you never let me play with this before? And it's, you know when babies drool and they have water fights? You'll know what I'm talking about, Mr. Robinson. You kind of, this kind of mixture of water and drool kind of drips off the chin. Or maybe that just still happens to you, I don't know, but it kind of gets all messed up, and he turns, and as he's turning, I remember this kind of flick of drool come water. I'm like, ooh. So I'm not going to touch him, because he's absolutely soaked with bog water, as we call it in Britain. It's filthy. You know, not that we've got a particularly dirty toilet or anything, but still, you know, it's not like, I'm going to go for a drink. You know, you don't do that. So it's like, Sarah, call my wife, you know, mum's coming, grab him by the scruff of the neck, you know, go and wash up. It's interesting though, I mean, how many of you, if you're thirsty, think, man, I can't get a bottle of water, there's no water fountain, oh, that's okay, I'll just go to the toilet and take a drink out of the toilet. Have you ever, any of you ever done that? any of you ever had your head dunked down the toilet? Any of you ever dunk somebody? No, it doesn't matter. How many of you have actually attempted to go into that toilet in City Park in the middle of July? You know that little one that's just by the plastic one? It's like, you know, you go in and you have to be really desperate and you do the... You know that, you know, have you ever been to a concert and you've been in one of those kind of, what do you call them? We call them porta parties, okay. One of those and it stinks. Any of you ever taken a drink out of one of those things? You know, can you imagine the filth and like you're holding your breath trying to do your business as quickly as you possibly can just to get out? And you know what? As disgusting as that is, I think a lot of us do that every day when it comes to sin. We've got this opportunity to take water and drink out of this incredible, beautiful thing called life, called Christianity, that because of the death of Christ, he says, you can now go and live in newness of life. And we go, I'm going to go and drink out of the toilet. I'm going to go back to my old life. I'm going to go back to the sin. I'm, you know what? Because I can handle it. I'm going to kind of mess around with some of this stuff. And we struggle. And there's this tension. And we know that it's wrong. We know it's filthy. We know that it's not going to end up good. But we somehow ignore what we know is right, and we keep on getting pulled to what we know is wrong. And we think, you know, it's okay, I can deal with it. I can handle it. So we try harder. We try harder to resist. We try harder to not say or not do or not watch, and we resist it because we know it's filthy, but every now and again we tend to go over and we just take a lick. of the toilet. Yeah, but I'm not drinking out of it. Yeah, but dude, you're licking the toilet. Seriously. Yeah, but I'm not taking big cups of it. I'm not going out and getting I'm not blazing and drinking every weekend. I'm not sleeping around. I'm not drinking the toilet. Yeah, but maybe you're surfing porn. Maybe you're gossiping. Maybe you're pulling somebody down in the hallway. Maybe you're like, no, I'm so nice to your face. And then I will rip you apart when you've left the group. You're licking the toilet. It's still disgusting. I mean, it's not like, oh, well, you know, give us a kiss because you've only just licked the toilet. At least you haven't drunk out of it. You know, it's not good, but we think we can handle it. And what that is pride. Because what the church and what we've really done really well is we've made this list of sins and we said, just stay away from that and God will love you more. And it doesn't work like that, because what that is somehow we try and work really hard. And it's like, I don't know, my grass, I'm ashamed to even call it grass, because in the middle of summer it's more weeds than grass. But, you know, when you mow over weeds, it looks green and you can't see them anymore. But then give it a couple of days, they come back with vengeance and there's even more weeds. And that's what we do with sin. We try and deal with it. We try and handle it. We try work really hard, and then we just fail. And it just seems to get worse. Now, maybe this is just me, but maybe some of you can relate to that. And I think the problem is that we forget that there's an Easter Sunday. Because Easter Sunday is all about newness of life. It's this that Jesus beat the snot out of sin and death, rose again, proving that everything he said before was right. So we're trying to handle something that Jesus has already beaten the death out of. Doesn't make any sense. Yeah, but Glenn, maybe he didn't rise from the dead. Because I watched National Geographic, and they say that, you know, that Jesus is probably still in a tomb somewhere. We've just got to find him. It's interesting, because if you think about it, it's a ridiculous argument. Because the Jesus raising from the dead actually proves that everything he said before was correct, because it proves that he's God. Paul says that 500 people witnessed Jesus. So 500 people, somebody must have had to have gone around and kind of convinced them all to say that they saw Jesus, and all their stories fit together, 500 people all hallucinating all at the same time. The soldiers guarding the tomb, I said this to you before, you know, because like Mary, she must have been really tough. Mary comes to the tomb, beats up the two soldiers that are guarding it, rolls the stone away and takes the body and hides it, because Mary is that tough. She is the Chuck Norris of New Testament. Yeah. What is it? He just waits. Is she really the Chuck Norris of the New Testament? Could she have actually done that? And then you think about the leaders in Acts chapter 2. They're listening to Peter preaching this sermon. Thousands of people are turning to Christ. The leaders, if they knew that Jesus was actually still dead and they'd hidden his body, which is another argument, surely they would have gone, well, actually, guys, here's the dead body. Everything you're saying is untrue. No, they couldn't say a thing. Think about Peter. Peter, this loser, this guy who's always messing up and screwing up. He's the one that after Jesus dies goes, I'm going to go fishing. That's his response. But then after he raises again, Peter gets filled with the Holy Spirit and starts preaching the gospel. This complete change, and it's because of the resurrection of Christ. That's the difference, because it proves Christ. So while we're trying to handle our sin in life, Jesus actually handled it for us. And by rising from the dead, it says that he beat death. And sin is death. Because look at some of these scriptures, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Have we got some of these? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Guys, it's talking about you as Christians. If you believe everything that I said last week, and you believe that Jesus is your Savior, and that he's just consumed you, and you surrendered yourself to him, then the new life has come. Everything that is of the old, all the toilet water, is your old life. Why go back? Why would we want to go back? Because the new life has come. We are a new creation. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are not condemned. And then Romans 6 and verse 11. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. You got to consider yourself dead to the toilet. Yeah, but I'm just licking it. No, dead. You are dead to that. You are a dead man or a dead girl compared to the toilet. You are dead. Because in Romans chapter 6, it says we died with him. Our old self died with Christ. And so when Christ raises from the dead, beats the snot out of death, you rise with him in newness of life. So why go back to the toilet? Yeah, but we can handle it. Because here's the thing, guys. And I need you to ask yourself this. This is a really important question. If you are truly, truly saved, okay, and we're saved from a lot of things. We're saved from God, we're saved from sin, we're saved from death, we're saved from Satan. If you're truly saved, then this toilet, this sin in your life should hold no attraction to you. Well, no, let me change that. It shouldn't be something that you are taking part in happily. Let me put it that way. Yeah, you might get pulled back to it, and it might be a temptation, absolutely. It may well be attractive. It might be a temptation, but everything inside of you is screaming, why am I licking this toilet? Why am I drinking out of this toilet when I know there's newness of life? If you have that tension in your life, then it is a good indicator that you are saved. If you are lapping head down, drinking this thing and licking the toilet and not giving a monkey's red butt about it, it's a good indication that you are not a Christian. Because this new life slams into your life and changes the way you think. And so you may have struggles, you may have difficulties, you may find it hard to switch the net off, to not go to that site. You might find it difficult not to listen to that music. It's a constant pull, but everything inside of you is screaming for something different. It's an indication of that newness of life. Paul says in Philippians 3 in verse 11, I think it is, he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I think if we really knew the power of the resurrection and how disgusting sin actually is and what we've been saved from, if we knew the power of the resurrection, that we would truly know him, we wouldn't want to go back and lick the toilet. Because he would be so fascinating for us. He would be so incredible. He would be the one. If we surrender ourselves to this, guys, sin becomes way, way easier to resist. So maybe the problem we have is that we don't believe Easter Sunday enough. Maybe we don't believe that Jesus actually beats sin. Maybe we don't surrender ourselves to that every day. And maybe we don't actually kind of surrender ourselves daily to knowing him. Because if we really knew him, I wouldn't want to go and lick the toilet. If you really knew him, if you were spending time, you know, coming to me and, not, you know, I'm not saying any of you do this, but coming to me and listing all the issues and problems you have, and then I say, well, how do you know him? On a daily basis, how are you getting to know Christ? Because if you surrendered yourself to him, you're not going to be interested in that. James talks about submitting to God. I've said this to you so often. Submit to God and resist the devil. You've got to submit. You've got to surrender. You've got to know the God of Easter Sunday, and then suddenly sin will become like that disgusting toilet in City Park. You don't want to go and lick it. You're not interested. You're not interested. And the result of this is incredible. Because if you're a dead guy or a dead girl to sin, and Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If you really live like this, guys, listen, you're unstoppable. Nothing is going to stop you. Because if you actually have a handle and an eye on Christ, then it will change you so dramatically that you will become unstoppable. You will start looking for ways that you can kick the devil's butt every possible day. You'll be looking for ways to serve Christ. You'll be looking for ways to glorify him. You'll be taking massive risks. I think of some of the characters in the Bible that did some crazy things because they knew their God. I spoke at Evangel a couple of weeks ago about Jonathan. Jonathan faced with all these Philistine armies, and I might have mentioned it to you guys as well, but if you remember the story, he looks at the Philistine army and he says to his armor bearer, let's go kill some of them, because it might be, it may be that God will help us today. He would take a massive risk because he knew his God. Do you know this God? Oh, you know what, Glenn? I can handle it. I can handle a toilet. I can handle my own life. I'm happy living with it all. Really? Because, guys, the good news is you don't have to. You can do great, incredible, adventurous things in Christ. Doesn't matter where you live, what job, it all becomes an adventure. It all becomes ministry. Some of you just come back from Africa, and that's awesome. But guys, I love you. But Africa continues here. This is mission. This is no more. Africa is no more needy spiritually than here. In fact, Mr. Bishop, I would say maybe in some ways Africa is kind of further ahead spiritually than we are here. But we look at Africa and Mexico and Thailand and pick a place and we go, missions. Here, not so much. But yeah, missions. And I love the fact that we go and we do, and that's important, but we need to go do here. But we will only go and do here if we actually know him. Otherwise, we become really good at just being critical and say, well, we need to change. Somebody needs to change that. Somebody ought to do something. And some of you come to me and say, Glenn, I've got this idea. And my answer is, that's awesome. Do it. Well, I'm a bit busy. I was hoping that you might be able to do it. No. If you know him, you'll be looking for ways to serve him. And that's what I want to encourage you today. Easter Sunday is about knowing him and staying away from the toilet and living in that newness of life. That newness of life. If I know I've gone out of order, guys, with the scriptures, but if we can look at 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. It says, his divine power has granted to us all things. Think about that. His divine, that's godly power, has granted, given to us, me, you, if you're a Christian, all things, not just some things, all things that pertain, in other words, that are related to life and godliness. You have been given in Christ through his resurrection everything you could possibly ever need to be godly and have life and life to the full. Through the knowledge of him, through knowing him, who called us to his own glory and excellence. Do you know him? Because if you know him, you have everything you need to be unstoppable in life, to do the impossible, to see things change in this school, to see things change in your family, in this city. Anything is possible to those who know him and believe in him. And because those people who know him and believe him and take risks based on what he has done, you don't go near the toilet. You don't take a quick lick when no one's watching. You're not interested, because all you're interested in is his glory and his excellence. That's Easter Sunday. That's the good news. Yeah, but Glenn, I can handle it. Well, maybe you can, but you know what? I want to be out there living life and life to the full. Are you going to join me through the knowledge of him? Do you know him? Do you know this Jesus Christ? I preach the same thing to you every week. Have you noticed?
Yes.
Different packaging, same thing. Do you know him? Do you know him? Because he knows you and he loves you. He died for you. He got smashed on that cross like you heard last week for you. Do you know this God? Because if you do, there ain't any toilet work going on. Really. You may find that struggle. And I want to encourage you that if you feel like you are involved in sin and your habit is to sin, and I could list some, so could you. If that is your habit, then you know what? There's hope for two groups. If you're a Christian, surrender yourself to the knowledge of him. Fill your life with the knowledge of him. Don't just try and stop. Fill your life with stuff and it won't become an issue. But for some of you, you've never known him. And I plead, I beg you to consider and think about this at Easter Sunday, because it is the most important thing that can happen to you in your life. Do you really know that Jesus? Do you really know him? I'm going to pray, and guys, can we do some worship and prayer and stuff? Worship, like we said last week, the Israelites surrounded the where Aaron went into and sacrificed the two goats. Remember, all the Israelites were around the tent of meeting, and their response was to worship and surrender. We're going to spend some time doing that again today. And I want you to think, just like Aaron would put his hands on the second goat and he would name the sins of the nation upon it, just before, I want you to think about some of those things that you know is toilet work. And I want you to, I pray that you would ask for forgiveness. But then I also want you to follow it up with a praise that Jesus beat death. He beat sin so you could have newness of life. That's the good news. And maybe some impossible things could start becoming possible. So I'm going to pray. And then I'm going to hand over to these guys. We're going to sing a song in response to this. And I just want you to worship him and surrender yourself to him today. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father, that you, in your great wisdom and in your plan, gave Jesus Christ as a sacrifice for my sins so that I did not have to die, so I could be brought together with you, Jesus, so I could be atoned. I thank you, Jesus, for that penalty that you paid on the cross so that I do not have to die, so I don't have to live in hell now and forever. But Jesus, I thank you that when your eyes flickered open on that third day and you sat up and the stone was rolled away and you walked out into that sun and took those breaths, that Jesus, that newness of life is my gift to receive as well. And I pray, Jesus, that today the students in this room will live in that and believe that and seek to know you more. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you, Father.